Quantum Conversations, your portal to the inner realms. Access infinite possibilities, infinite mastery, and infinite love. Mind-expanding, heart-opening conversations with some of the greatest spiritual teachers, luminaries, and healers of today's world. Usher in new earth by living in your sacred heart. Welcome to another Quantum Conversation, brought to you by AcousticHealth.com. I'm Loren Gailey, and I invite you to sit back as we enter the quantum realm, that space of the greater part of you. It is your connection to infinite possibilities, infinite potential, and infinite mastery. And our infinite potential and infinite mastery comes to us when we are the embodied enlightened one. And my guests today are here to channel an ascended master who is going to talk about embodied enlightenment. Jeffrey and Linda Hoppe are here with us on Quantum Conversations, and we all join you from Boulder, Colorado, and we welcome you to this space. Jeffrey, thank you so much for being here. And Linda, welcome to you too. Thanks for being on Quantum Conversations.
Thank you, Loren. It's really a delight and an honor to be on your show. And having met you personally also and getting to know you, and you've got a tremendous sense of humor and just a delight to be around. So thank you for letting us on your show today.
And the same. Really, you're radiant and you're really nice and wonderful and easy to be with. And that's a nice treat for us. Thank you.
I wish all the listeners could meet you in person like we have.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. Actually, you guys have a beautiful TV studio in Colorado, and we'll be doing Sacred Heart Connections from that studio, a new live audience and a webcast as well. And so I personally want to thank both you, Jeffrey and Linda, for this incredible opportunity. You guys have really stepped into your power, and that's what I'd like to talk about. This must not be easy to leave the executive world and to begin to channel ascended masters. We're going to learn about Adamas Saint Germain, who you channel currently, but before this, you began channeling an angel. So please share with us this story of going from the corporate world into high-level executive management. And Linda, you too, right? You were in the fashion industry. This is really the 3D world. And Jeffrey, you had an experience on a plane ride when Tobias, the angel, came to you. Share that story for our listeners.
Well, I'm going to give you the very brief version. I was, as you mentioned, in the corporate world, actually in a startup business in the aviation arena. A couple of partners and myself started a business to provide telecommunication services to aircraft, initially to business jets and then to commercial jets. And actually, the company is today very successful and doing very well. It's called GoGo. And it's, if you get on a commercial airplane, you want to use the Internet, that's what you use, is GoGo. And that's I was really proud to be one of the founders of that. Anyway, a startup company, you know, gosh, it's just endless hours. And in the meantime, Linda and I had a marketing consulting company. This was down in Dallas. So we were doing both. Linda was pretty much managing the consulting company, and I was doing the aviation thing and working really, really hard, long hours, but I would say having fun with it. It was kind of hectic, but I was coming home on a business trip one night, flying from, gosh, I forgot where it was, back down to Dallas, and it was kind of leaning up against the window. This was back in the days where there were actually empty seats on an airplane, so it had to be in about 96, I think it was, or 97, and there was nobody else in the row, you know, next to me, and kind of just resting, not really sleeping, and not really awake, and all of a sudden I heard a very loud, clear voice outside of me, And he said, I am Tobias. And I kind of shook my head and opened my eyes, and there was nobody around. And I thought, that was really strange, and closed my eyes again. And the voice, and again, outside of me, not a voice inside my head, but a voice very clear said, I am Tobias. I'm here to work with you. And oh my gosh, I'm going crazy. I'm working too hard and it's all catching up. But the bottom line was he talked for about about an hour straight. And I felt in a very altered state. What he was talking about was just amazing. And he announced himself as an angel. I had had a Catholic upbringing, so I knew what an angel was. But Linda and I stopped going to church as soon as we were old enough to leave the house. And so I really didn't have any religious or spiritual background. And the next morning, actually, I was actually depressed. I thought, I'm just going crazy. I'm hearing voices, and they're telling me about other dimensions and all this stuff I have no understanding of. But about a week later, he came back in, and I was driving home from work one night, and for the next year, he took me through what I call my basic training in spirituality. Every night on my way home from work, he would come in and chat and give me lessons.
Long commute, Jeff.
Yeah, it was a long commute. It was almost an hour. And he taught me basically how to feel, how to sense things. And I'd never thought about channeling or anything like that. I just thought this was a little buddy of mine. And I actually never told Linda about it for a whole year, because I was afraid she would really think I was going crazy. But I loved it. You know, there are times I doubted it, of course, but I loved it so much, and I was learning so much. I actually got to a point, as I said, if I'm just making this up, it's a great pretend game. Anyway, when I finally told Linda about it, her first reaction was to say, well, I'd like to talk to Tobias. And I thought, well, I don't know how to do that, because I have my own way of communicating with him, but I don't know how to do it for another person. But in the long run, we sat down, and I brought in Tobias. It was my first channel, and he talked to Linda, and things took off after that. And kind of fast-forwarding, I stayed in the business world for about another 4 years. And in the meantime, a few people here in Colorado heard about this, what came to be known as, I knew as channeling, and they would come over to the house once a month, and a small group of about 10 or 12 people, and then one day I got fired from my own company, my own startup company. We got a big investor in, I think a lot of people know the name of Goldman Sachs, and they made management changes, and suddenly I found myself without a job, and I was fine. I thought I'd just take a year off and not do anything. And pretty soon the phone started ringing. We don't know how people even heard about it, but they were like, hey, do you do workshops? And it's like, well, we could try. And I have to say that I had two big fears in my life. One was flying, and the other one was public speaking. I ended up in the aviation business, and then later ended up as doing channeling, public speaking. It just grew from that, and I really think the important thing was that Linda and I never intended to do it. It just grew on its own, and we've spent the last 15 years trying to catch up with it. It's been amazing.
Well, it was kind of the funniest part was that we had a pretty strong marketing background, both of us in different aspects of it, and was fun for me because we never, ever tried to market it. It grew organically that at one point there were people that liked the little monthly thing that Jeff did when we were just there. And somebody said, oh, I can throw that up on a website. So somebody transcribed it, threw it up on a website. And before we knew it, somebody from Boulder comes and it's like, how'd you find out about us? And they're like, well, my friend from Australia sent me this and said, I had to check you out. You're right in my backyard. And it just grew from there. We've spent the whole rest of our life just trying to keep up with it.
Well, I love how it grew so organically. Here you got out of the 3D mind. You totally followed your heart. And you literally faced your fears. My goodness, in all aspects of it. Okay. Well, then, so Linda, let me ask you this. How was it then when he came to you? That was interesting that you supported him and said, I want to talk to Tobias. When that happened, what was the energy like? I mean, was it like beyond doubt for you that, one, he was not crazy, and that this was definitely an energy of another being? What was that like?
No, that's not my nature. I'll give you the very brief version of it, but we were working so hard, and we were going in two different directions. He's trying to go forward with this startup, this wonderful company, this great idea. I'm running our business, trying to make sure it goes forward, goes well, and take care of our clients. And we were both running in two different directions, 90 miles an hour working. I loved it, but we were working too hard, and I wondered about it once in a while. And I felt like there was a period of time where I just felt like, oh, we're drifting so far apart. I hope we're okay. We're working hard, but we're working too hard. And then one day he comes to me and says, I have something to tell you. And I'm thinking, oh, no. And so then...
Well, actually, I said it was a little bit more dramatic, but it was like I was nervous to talk to her about it, but I knew I had to because she was sensing that I was doing a lot of odd things and weird behavior. So I came in one day and I said, Linda, I need to talk to you. You need to sit down.
So anyways, it turned out that he told me that he needed to tell me about someone else. And I mean, my heart sunk. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how did I let this happen? And then he said, I need to tell you about this Tobias, this old dead Jewish person. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's talk.
Like, oh, it's an old dead Jew. That's fine.
Okay, let's talk. Well, and it was cute. He was actually quite humble and sweet. And so at that point, he was open to let me talk to it. And I had been married. You know, Jeff and I had been together a very long time. You know, we got married. We've been married almost 40 years. But anyways, I'd already known him for a long time. I knew how authentic and how real he was. And so we went, and so he allowed me to, he was going to try to channel for me. And he was nervous about it, and it was, you know, back then it was interesting because he was clearly nervous. But when you know someone that well, you know. And so it was very sweet. He agreed to channel Tobias. He thought it was bumpy, but it wasn't. It was smooth. And he invited me to ask any questions I wanted. So I even picked some funny questions that I knew what the real answer was, but I knew what Jeff's answer would be. And Tobias gave me the real answer. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so real. And it was Tobias was an incredible, unbelievable energy. It was like this support and this really ideal that really helped you look at even just tools for everyday life. And it was so amazing. And he was like this incredible, amazing uncle. And my only problem was that he wanted to come back to Earth, and he used to like to hang around too close to our bedroom.
Yeah, so share a little bit more on that. He'd be in the bedroom when you were sleeping. Did you ever see him, or you could just sense him, or Jeffrey would sense him?
It was kind of, it wasn't like see him like a human, but I could sense him in every way and feel exactly where he was. And it wasn't bad. It was just, it was something that really took, you know, you have to really get used to that.
Tobias used to pop in all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we'd be out at dinner or something, and all of a sudden you could just feel it when he would come in. And
In a nice way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, non-intrusive. But he really liked hanging around, and the bottom line is he was ready to come back to Earth in a reincarnation, and I think he was just kind of getting ready
checking
by hanging
out.
Around. And by the way, when I first heard the name Tobias, I had no idea what it meant, and it was a little while later, probably more than a year later, when I discovered that it was from the apocryphal book of the Bible, which I'd never read, and called the Book of Tobit, and it is a beautiful, beautiful story. So if anybody gets a chance to read it, the Book of Tobit. And you won't find it in most Bibles, but it's still in some of the Catholic Bibles.
It was thrown out because they said they thought it was more of a parable than an actual real character, which made it even more intriguing to me.
Okay, well, it's such a fascinating account of how Tobias came to you and how you recognized him. What was it like for you to feel this energy? And you said that you were driving on your commute, and, you know, at first when he came to you, it was a loud, clear voice. And yet you didn't know when you were driving and he would pop in the car that you didn't know what he was talking about. So what was that like then, energy-wise, and then how did you get over the doubt?
Well, it was absolutely fascinating when, before I was publicly channeling, when I was just Tobias and I, because it was like discovering something new every night driving home, and he would talk about the origins of creation, and the next night he would be teaching me how to, I never forget the time he said, look at that stop sign up ahead, and he said, now feel the energies in the stop sign. I'm like, what? It's just a piece of metal. But he taught me that it's not. It had the consciousness of the ground that the metals came from, and every person who had ever touched it, every person who had ever looked at it, it still contained their energies. And he taught me how to go into layers. In other words, not just what you see with your eyes, but there are layers of everything in everything. It was absolutely mind-blowing to the point where I so look forward to my drive every night, other than a few times I got mad at him and told him to go away forever.
Why did you get mad at him?
There was one time he came in, for instance, and he was chatting away about something, and I said, so when do we go home? You know, back home, like heaven, or, you know, the kind of Catholic home thing. And he goes, never. You don't go home. And I was just devastated. It blew every thought I'd had about life and death. And I was so upset with him that I said, I don't even want to talk to you. Just don't come back around. But when he did, he came back around a couple of days later. And he explained it. And he said, you never go back home. Home comes to you. Spirit comes to you. It's not about, you know, living lifetimes on earth and then going back into some oneness, some homogeneous, you know, oneness. He said, spirit home comes to you. And every moment of every day, with everything you learn and experience, spirit itself is expanding, growing, and it comes to you. And then it was like, oh, my God, that makes so much sense. So I got, over being upset with him.
Okay, well, isn't that beautiful? That is so comforting as well, and really shows how we do anchor heaven on earth. Okay, well, so then Tobias eventually left. Take us through that story, and then how Adamus Saint Germain came to you.
I channeled Tobias for 10 years, from 1991
Can't remember. 2009 was when he left.
2009. So, 1999 to 2009.
Yeah.
And about
Jeff, have you got channel brain right now?
I do.
I can feel it.
About maybe 2 years before he left, he announced to the audience one day that he was going to be leaving to reincarnate back on Earth. Even though he was an ascended master, he said he wanted to come back to Earth to enjoy life, to do the things that he had never allowed himself to do. If you read the story of Tobias in the Book of Tobit, he was he was Jewish, lived back in Israel. He was actually a slave, but back then slaves were a little bit different than what we think of him as. He actually worked for the king as a buyer, but their people were enslaved. And he followed Jewish law, you know, to a T. I mean, just whatever the Jewish rule said, he followed. And he never really allowed himself to enjoy life, the beauty of life, because he was always trying to please God by following the rules. And, he, you know, even though he had his ascension or his enlightenment in the last few days of his lifetime, in that life, which was back at about 500 B.C., he never really enjoyed life. So he came in one day and said, I'm coming back to Earth, and I'm coming back to enjoy life, to eat good food, to laugh, to make love, to walk in nature, to do all the things that I never really allowed myself to do. And he said, when I do, I'm going to walk with God in my life instead of following God's rules, which were really man's rules. So it was a very strange time. I truly loved Tobias, and Linda loved Tobias.
Absolutely.
He was so nurturing. And then one day he announced that this Saint Germain was going to take over. And I was slightly familiar with Saint Germain, but didn't know much about him. Anyway, Tobias left, and it was tearful and sad. And then we had 2 months off, and then Saint Germain came in. And the bottom line is, I thought to myself, those first 5 months were awful. It was so different.
Challenging.
For instance, I channeled Tobias with my eyes closed, sitting on a stool or chair. And it was comforting because I get to keep my eyes closed. I didn't have to look at the audience or think they were looking at me. And Tobias was very nurturing. You know, his job was really to help us understand that we weren't going crazy. All this stuff with awakening was we weren't going crazy.
Trust yourself and you're never alone.
Yeah. And then Thomas came in, Saint Germain. Now, he came in and he announced that he was going to take on the name Adamus Saint Germain, kind of like it's the Saint Germain most people are familiar with, but it was very unique for the Crimson Circle, and he went by the name of Adamus. And
did he not refer to that as a special aspect of Saint Germain?
Right. It's Saint Germain, but it's the way he presents himself in front of the Crimson Circle. Anyway, it was really tough because instantly, that first channel, he had me open my eyes.
That was funny.
And which I didn't want to do. So 1 minute my eyes would fly open, you know, because he wanted them to be, and then I would slam them shut. And then he would open them up, and I would slam them shut.
It was pretty weird.
Was this before a live audience?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It was actually, if I recall right, it was down in Santa Fe. And Linda was laughing and laughing, and we're going through the struggle. And so finally my eyes stayed open. And then he had me stand up and walk around. And that's very difficult when you're channeling. You're so expanded, but you're also highly focused on the entity you're working with. And to do anything physical, you know, walk around. When I was channeling Tobias, Linda always had to hand me my water to take a drink. And suddenly this guy, Adamus, is walking around. And on top of that, he was really provocative.
Kind of.
He was rough.
He had an attitude.
And on top of that, he said, okay, Tobias used to always take questions and answers, and he said, we're going to do questions and answers, but I'm going to ask the questions. So he would go out in the audience and asking questions and getting provocative, and it was the first 5 months I really didn't think I was going to last with Adamus.
It was definitely an evolution, Jeff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as bad as it sounds.
Yes, it was.
But that's how bad it was for Jeff.
Yeah, it was awful. And
it was entertaining.
He would do things like take a glass of water and dump it over somebody's head.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He would take money out of my pocket and start giving it to people. And he would do crazy stuff. Like one day he just walked out the door, walked outside. Mm-hmm. Another time he followed somebody into the bathroom, you know, with a live microphone on. And it was like really... I really came to a point I thought, you know, I may just, you know, retire. And in the meantime, I hadn't heard a word from Tobias, nothing. I mean, it was like he was just gone. So I had nobody to save me from Adamus. But what happened eventually is I began to understand why Adamus was doing certain things, and he began to clarify why he was here.
Well, it was actually really sweet because ultimately what it was is he said he didn't want people going off when he was talking, going to a dream state. Then when he was really inviting us to stay present for the audience and all of us to be conscious, to really tune in to what was being said, not to just go off into la-la land.
Mm-hmm. The embodied enlightenment that he speaks mm-hmm. of.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, okay, I know we're going to bring him through, and our audience is going to get a feel in the energy shift. And when he comes in, we have seen you. Usually you take a couple of moments and a song plays, and then comes forth Adama Saint Germain through you. When he comes in, where do you go? What happens? And then in your physical body, what do you experience as this being is moving around?
Well, even as we're talking right now in the last 25 minutes, Linda and I can both sense him filling the room here,
mm-hmm.
but then he's also connecting with everybody listening in. He's really good about doing that. And so when Linda says I have channel brain, that means I start kind of getting fumbly and I can't think straight. So I can tell he's very present. He's sitting right next to you, Loren, as well. And then when we're really ready to go, Linda does a minute or two of breathing. That helps me integrate Adamus. He comes into my body and kind of harmonizes with my body. And then while Linda's doing the breathing, then actually I feel these what I call love washes, you know, chills going up and down my body. If you see me live in person, I twitch a little bit, tiny little bit. And then we just sit together, Adamus and I, for just a minute, you know, and we just chat. Sometimes he'll chat about nothing, you know, a sports game, and you wouldn't think they'd watch sports. Or other times, you know, he just says, here's what I'm going to do in this session, and just, you know, take a good deep breath and be with it. But we just have that kind of a moment or two together, and then I feel him roar through. And when Tobias would come in, I'd feel kind of a gentleness seeping out. When Adama starts in, I feel him kind of roaring through.
Hmm.
But it's, you know, from a body standpoint, I asked Adama, well, why does my body twitch and jerk like that? And he said it's just adjusting to the different energy level.
So afterwards, I know there's other channels, Rana Herman, her energy system is pretty, not depleted, but there's so much energy from Archangel Michael that she physically feels that in interesting ways. Do you experience physical things like that? What do you do after?
Oh, I fake it. I pretend that I'm here and that I can talk to people and that. But I always say, don't give me the car keys for 2 hours because I'll tell you I can drive, but I'm really...
Oh, and Jeff is not any... We have a standing agreement with the audience that nothing Jeff agrees to within 2 hours of channeling counts. No agreement.
I'll
yeah.
give away the house.
Yeah,
I'll give away,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
anything. And
yeah.
uh-huh. If people ask anything, you know, I always agree because I'm just in that la-la... You know, that space, it's like, oh, this feels so good. And then I'm really hungry. I mean, like, give me a cheeseburger and I'll do great.
Wow.
Very hungry.
Grounding. You're
yeah.
grounding. Okay. Well, how exciting. We're going to hear from Adama Saint Germain. I know you spoke briefly about this. Adama Saint Germain is an aspect of Saint Germain. Did you want to add any other clarity, or will Adamus talk about that difference?
He would like to talk a little bit about it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well.
He's going to talk about himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, well then, Jeffrey, you go and take your time. And Linda, I'm going to hand this over to you to set the stage for this to come forth.
And one quick note, Loren, is that Adamus tends to be a little long-winded, and you're welcome at any time to say, okay, well, thank you, Adamus, and, you know, it's time to ask a few questions.
All righty. Great.
Okay. Breathing with Linda.
Okay. So with that, I invite each of us to take the good deep breath. And that's such an easy, graceful thing for me to ask each of us, because that's what Adamus asks us to do. To take the good deep breath. That deep breath that fills your body. that good deep breath that tells your body, you choose life. Take the good deep breath. We choose life. When you take that good deep breath, really let the energy flow with it. Opening, breathing, opening, body, mind, and soul. Breathing, the I am here, present, conscious. Breathing with allowing and awareness. Oh, Adamus is so close. Take the good deep breath and invite him in. Breathe him in if you choose. He's there every step of the way if you choose. Take the good deep breath.
I am that I am. Adamus of Saint Germain. Let's continue to take a good deep breath. I understand I have limited time here, so I'd like to get right to the point of things. First of all, I was listening to the discussion beforehand, and this whole thing you call the phenomena of channeling is really actually the natural state of being. The phenomena is that most people don't channel. Most people don't perceive the other energies and the other realities around them. People think it's strange that you would talk to an angel, for instance, and which, by the way, I am not an angel. I think that you would talk to an ascended master, which, by the way, I am an ascended master. People think it's strange that one would communicate with the birds or the trees, and it's not at all. It's strange that one would not, because human consciousness has become so shut, closed, limited, that is so hypnotized, we're humans, so hypnotized to think that you couldn't communicate with everything around you, everything physical, with nature. Oh, I love nature so much. I spent my last few years of my last lifetime in nature by myself, because nature is life. It's energy in motion. It is the example of life. And not that the trees are going to talk to you in English or even in French. They don't. They don't speak a language, nor, by the way, do the angelic beings. They don't. When they come to talk to you, it's not in words. It's in feelings. It's in your senses. And it's one of the most difficult things for a human to recognize, is that there's so much more beyond your five human senses, but that's how you perceive reality. And you get so caught in that. You get so trapped in it. And then, you know, your emotions get trapped in it, and your what you perceive as your experiences in life get trapped within a very narrow spectrum of human senses. And my dear friends, there is so much more out there. There is so much more in the reality fields all around you right now. You don't have to be a gifted psychic. You don't have to be have a special gift or a talent, even to be a experienced channeler, to be able to perceive everything that's really there. All you have to do is to take a deep breath and to choose to go beyond the limited five senses, back into your natural angelic senses, and to take a deep breath and choose to go beyond the mind, because the mind holds so much in, including, I can feel it. I'm present with anybody who is listening in this moment or even later, and I can feel how you're holding in emotions. You're holding in thoughts. Many of you are holding in a victim consciousness. You're playing that game, and you perceive these things that have happened to you in your life to be real. But actually, they're really not. They are memories held in by gravity. Yes, by gravity. That's what I said. Not the gravity that just the gravity that causes an apple to fall to the ground, but gravity holds everything in. It holds emotions in. It holds beliefs in. It holds thoughts in. And then after a while, you begin to actually believe what gravity, what emotions are being held in. And there's a big difference between what really happened in your past and your emotional memory. But then you get caught in it. You get trapped. You get so tight in it. And you're crying. You're screaming for a way out. And it's really actually quite simple. Quite simple. But before I go any further, let me introduce myself. I am Adamus Saint-Germain. I had many, many lifetimes on Earth, just like you. As a matter of fact, I knew some of you, particularly in the times of Atlantis. And I've told the story one or two times. I'll give the abridged version here now. But in the latter days of Atlantis, I was a slave boy, literally a slave boy. And many of you were, you were the royalty of Atlantis. And you studied the mysteries. You studied the inner self. You studied the stars and studied music. You studied the vibrations of life itself. There was quite a focus on nature because nature is the dance of life on this planet. It's the energies of life in motion. It's actually, in a way, a mirror to your own self, but that's a whole other discussion. Here I was, a slave boy in the times of Atlantis, and I happened to walk into one of the temples where wonderful ceremonies were being conducted, but I wasn't prepared for the energies. This was hundreds and hundreds of people in a divine ceremony, and I happened to walk in, stumbled in like the village idiot, carrying some water, and the energies were so overwhelming that it actually caused me to be imprisoned in my own crystal tomb for over 100,000 years. I was, I'm going to use the word Caldera, Jeffrey's giving me, I was zapped by the energies. I was thrown into another dimension, and there I was trapped in my own crystal prison. It's another way of saying a hypnotic spell, not placed on me by anybody, but allowed by me into myself. And I tried everything I could do for 100,000 years to try to get out of that crystal prison. I wasn't dead and I wasn't alive. I was just there. I tried everything. I tried begging. I tried praying. I tried fighting my way out. I tried bargaining with the gods. I tried everything. I even tried to kill myself, but I couldn't because I was neither alive or dead. And it wasn't until one day when I had exhausted every other possibility, of course, as you can imagine, after 100,000 years, it wasn't until one day I realized, and I want you to listen to this carefully. I want you to listen as I'm standing right beside you or sitting right beside you right now. It wasn't until I realized that I got myself into that crystal prison. And if I got myself in, I could get myself out. In other words, I stopped blaming life. I stopped blaming those who were sitting in the temples in Atlantis. I stopped blaming my misfortune for being born into a family where I was a slave. I got myself in to this crystal prison. I could get myself out. I took one step, and I was out. One step. In other words, I said, I'm out, and that's it, and I was. And at that time, and in that moment, I made a commitment to myself. I said, I'm going to have many, many more lifetimes on Earth. I'm going to teach freedom, true freedom. I'm going to teach every person who is willing to listen that they can be free from their past, which is not really what you think it is. They can be free from their ancestors. That's the very DNA that brought you here. The 95% or more of what you are comes from your ancestors, but you can be free of that. Well, that's a tough one, but again, a whole other subject. I said, I'm going to teach those who are ready for freedom, true freedom, freedom from governments, freedom from gods, freedom from rules, freedom from families and jobs and everything else. I'll teach them. I dedicated my lifetimes to doing just that. My last lifetime was in the 18th century. It was an amazing lifetime where I spent a lot of time in France, traveling all throughout Europe, had more money than I knew what to do with, and I never worked a single day of my life. And it wasn't because I was an alchemist. Alchemy, by the way, is a great distraction to distract those who are truly seeking fortunes rather than those who are truly seeking freedom. So alchemy, a great distraction, so that those who are really interested in their embodied enlightenment, in their freedom, they have a clear path, free of those who are simply seeking magic and fortunes. It was an amazing lifetime. I was known as the Count Saint-Germain. I was a musician, a writer, a statesman. Traveled all throughout Europe trying to reunite Europe, and with a degree of success. But then I knew it was my time. I spent the final 2 years of my life in northern Germany, in the woods, in nature, by myself with nothing but a few dogs. And in that time, I wrote a book that still exists, was never published, but the manuscript still exists. And I've often thought perhaps it's time to bring that book forward, to have it come out. I've written a few other books in that lifetime, another one which is known by the title of The Red Lion, that is published. It was published in the mid-1940s. But there's this book that I wrote, and it was called The Time of the Machines. I time traveled, you might say. I envision a time where there would be machines. You now call them computers. And these machines would make human life a little easier in some ways and a little bit more difficult in other ways. But these machines would be a representation of human intelligence itself. There would come a day where these machines would become so intelligent that they would exceed the capacity of the human mind itself. And this book is about that time when humans had to make the decision, was it artificial intelligence, was it the machines, or was it them, was it their consciousness, was it their spirit? And there would be a great turmoil on Earth at this time between the two. And as you might have already guessed, that we are in that time right now, the time of the machines, the time when artificial intelligence is growing at quantum rates, the time when you're just starting to see it in some of the things in your technology, cars that drive themselves. You're seeing it in the wonders and the miracle of your mobile phones. You're seeing it in other technological advances, nanotechnology, but you're in that time, the very time I wrote about. One of the chapters in that book that is near and dear to me, more so than many of the other chapters, is called The Hungry Planet. The Hungry Planet. And I talked about how from the moment the sun rises in the morning till the time it sets at night, the birds that fly in the sky, the animals that walk the ground, and every living creature, no matter what it is, no matter if it's a simple biological organism or whether it's a complex being like a human being, every being from the moment the sun comes up to the moment it sets is searching for food, literally food, and something to put in their bellies to feed them, to keep them going, but humans in particular searching for energy. Searching for energy. That's the human pursuit. That's the true hypnosis of humans. Energy. Believing that it's outside of them. searching for energy not only in the literal form, such as your oil and your gas, things that propel and power your societies, but a personal search for energy. Stealing energy from other people, manipulating energy from others, doing it through everything from anger. Anger towards another person is literally stealing their energy. But stealing it emotionally as well, emotionally being the victim. Every victim is simply taking energy from other people. No matter, by the way, I have to state here, for some of you who are in victim consciousness, and I know you're trying to get out of it, but you like the game. You like playing the victim because you're getting energy from it. Yes, you truly are. You're getting energy from other people who feel sorry for you, who can you can manipulate your sad story. And I can say this to you with all the compassion in the world, but I can say it to you because I had 100,000 years trapped in a crystal. I don't know of any other story that can possibly top that. And I say that with a smile on my face and compassion in my heart. But hear me out. It's a hungry planet. Humans trying to get energy from others, they do it through things like power. Power is an illusion. It actually doesn't exist anywhere, but humans have allowed it to be a way of taking energy from others. Doing it literally through business, through money, for taking money. Money is nothing but energy. It's a hungry planet. From the moment humans get up in the morning till the time they go to bed, and then even into their dream states at night, they're searching for energy. You're going to see it more and more with people. You're going to become more and more aware of it, and then aware of it in yourself. How are you seeking energy? And it will come down to the question of why. And the obvious answer would be, well, simply to maintain my physical body and to support my mind. But no. That's the first layer. There's much more beyond that. You're looking for energy in a way to find answers and answers of how to get back home, which, of course, you heard earlier, you don't go back home. Home comes to you. You're looking for energies in order to try to find yourself, thinking that energy would somehow produce more consciousness. But, my dear friends, it is consciousness that brings energy, not energy that brings consciousness. People are looking for more energy to be happier, to be healthier, to be younger, to have better relationships. But the fact is that if you had all the energy in the world, it still isn't necessarily going to make you happy. If you had all the money in the world, it still isn't going to make you a truly wise or happy person. So there's this constant hunger that goes on this planet. Everybody eating, whether it's food or whether it's simply trying to find energy in other people, in your profession, your career, in your body, trying to find energy when you work out, or no matter what it is, constant search for energy. But the reality is that there's this thing called consciousness. It is the I exist, I am that I am. It's the core of who you are. Some might call it the soul, but it is simply awareness. It's at the core of everything that you are, awareness. That is the thing that brings forth energy. Nothing else. That is the awareness, I am that I am. The awareness that you exist. That causes energy to come into your life. That causes energy to be with you. You don't need energy from any other person. And actually, you really don't even need energy from food. All the energy that you possibly need or want, all the energy for playing and enjoying life comes from your consciousness. And your consciousness, by the way, contains no energy whatsoever. No energy. It never will. It doesn't need to. It does not need any energy. It attracts energy. It brings energy in to create realities, to fulfill dreams, to really bring expansiveness and fulfillment to the I am, but there's no energy in it nor any need for it. So when one comes back to the very core, not to gods, not to angels, not to ascended masters, but to the core of themselves, I am that I am. I exist. I exist in this moment free of any past, free of any future. I simply exist. That is what brings energy in. And from therefore, every other day after that, you don't need to eat to survive. You can do it to enjoy, but not to survive. You don't need to take energy from anyone else, and you don't need to have anyone else stealing your energy. It's all written in this chapter called The Hungry Planet, in my manuscript for the book called The Time of the Machines. And we are in that time now. I have thought about whether to bring that book back out, to have it published, to have somebody find the manuscript. But I think instead what I'm going to do is write it in the modern times. Back when I wrote it, I didn't know the word computer. But now to write it from the very perspective of the world as it is now, the time of the machines, the cars that drive themselves, the nanotechnology that can rebuild any part of your body, to write it in the contemporary. So I'm negotiating with my dear friend Caldera, the channeler you call Jeffrey, for a time when we would sit down to rewrite the book in the modern setting. With that fulfills my statement for the evening to each and every one of you. A delight being here. I will take a few questions, and then I will be on my way.
Thank you for that. We totally feel the high vibration, even the shift in consciousness from feeling. Our awareness brings in the energy. Adamus, can you share more on, this is a quick question, into the past, Transylvania and that area there and the Romanian Sphinx and the tunnels to Inner Earth, the pyramids and Tibet. Is there any information you can offer on this?
Indeed, and in my lifetime as Count Saint Germain, I spent a large part of my younger years in Transylvania, raised by the Rákóczi family, not my biological parents, but my spiritual parents. So I'm very, very familiar with the area, and I like journeying there every year or two with Caldera and Linda. So in answer to your question, it's not just to focus on Romania or the pyramids that are there, because they are all over the world, and that is what I'd like to address. There was a time at the fall of Atlantis when human civilization almost came to an end, but there was a small number of humans, small by comparisons to today, who knew that the surface of the earth was far too violent to live upon, the fires, the storms, the earthquakes and everything else, and the ferocious animals. So they went underground, and there were groups of humans all around the world, South America, in Egypt, in Romania, in China. They went underground and lived for tens of thousands of years. Now, one might say, well, underground, how could you possibly grow food or breathe the air? But you have to remember it was different back then. Back then, there were crystals that were in the earth that carried a tremendous amount of pure energy. It was the original energy for this planet that allowed life to come to form on this planet. These crystals supplied all the light that was needed to grow crops, but these crystals also had amazing life-giving abilities. I always say that the crystals were planted by the angelic beings before man ever came to Earth. So these crystals provided all the light and the energy and the resources for humans to live underground, and these colonies or the communities underground were massive and wonderful, and it wasn't like living in a cave or a tunnel. These were entire, beautiful, multicolored communities that lived under the ground. When they finally came forth, when they finally emerged from beneath the ground, when the surface of the earth had settled down that would support human life once again, they came up through the pyramids. The pyramids, the very ones that you see in Egypt, for instance. But beneath the pyramids are extensive networks of tunnels. And it's so with the pyramids that were in Mexico, the pyramids that you're referring to in Romania. The pyramids were, if you can imagine, the shaft upward from the underground. They were almost a safe space, a protective zone for the humans to emerge back up again. And they were also markers, they are markers, for the humans in the eventual need for ever going, having to go back underground. It was like they left their breadcrumbs there in the form of these pyramids, which also brought tremendous energies. So indeed there are those pyramids in Romania and all around the world. Many of the tunnels have collapsed now over the ages, and many of these beautiful, truly exquisite underground caverns are no longer exist. But that is the reason for the pyramids that you see. They weren't placed there by space aliens.
Okay, great. Thank you for answering that. All right, let's take a few questions from our audience. How can we learn to connect to our consciousness to heal our bodies and our minds?
Come to the Crimson Circle website. There's a tremendous amount of information there. And I want to make one note first that when Tobias asked me to come in to take over his role with the Crimson Circle, and I agreed to it, I took on the name of Adamus Saint Germain. I took on that unique title because, and Adamus is a title, not just a name, but I took that on as a way of differentiating the work I'm doing with the Crimson Circle, which is all about embodied enlightenment. It's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for the ones who are still in the awakening zone, so to speak. It's for those who are ready now for embodied mastery. So I took on that name to differentiate myself from the previous works that I'd done through channelers like Guy Ballard and Elizabeth Clare Prophet and some of the others. So there is a tremendous amount of information related to coming back to pure consciousness. It's difficult to answer in just a few moments or here, but the one thing that you can do is to get in a quiet, safe space and allow yourself to come back to the simple, simple nature of I exist. It doesn't include the body. It doesn't include even the mind or your history. You are not your history. And you'll fight me on that, as those in the Crimson Circle have, but you come to understand you're not your history. Come back to the very place of the simple I exist, where there's no physical body, where there's no, you're not your mind, you're not your given name, you're nothing but I exist. That is coming back to pure consciousness. Within that, there are tremendous realizations. First of all, you realize that all the stories that you have told yourself about yourself, all the stories that you tell yourself every day about your journey to enlightenment are just that, they're just stories. And most of them aren't even real. They're experiences, but they're not really even real. When you come back to the simplicity of the I exist free and independent of God, of angels, of your past lives, and of all of that, just the simplicity of the I exist, then you'll begin to understand consciousness, and then energy, and then spirit, or I prefer to call God or spirit, I prefer to call Theo, an acronym for the Eternal One, then you come to understand all that and you realize that you have so many old stories and they're beautiful stories, but they don't imprison you anymore. You are truly free. But with that said, there is a tremendous amount of information, and the Crimson Circle website and Caldra is reminding me to say that most of it is free, and that will help you to understand how free you actually are.
Well, we can feel the power of those words, and I know that that's a great place for anyone who wakes up in the middle of the night with worry to go back into I exist. That is a beautiful starting point. Thank you. Okay, now hopefully we can all feel our personal sovereignty in that saying, I exist. So we're going to go now to something where we don't talk about much, but we have heard in recent weeks that our current president has an aspect of you, Saint Germain. Can you speak to this? Are you guiding our president, or is that conjecture on some people's parts?
To clarify the issue, I am not the President Trump, nor is President Trump any part of me. I don't have any chips in the game, so to speak. It doesn't matter to me whether it is a Trump or not a Trump. I do and have worked with leaders of nations for many, many centuries now when they're open to it. And I tend to linger around at times, but, you know, oftentimes these leaders, not referring particularly to President Trump or not, but they're so mental, they're so filled with the power. But I will say one thing, that any leader of a country is representative of the constituents and the constituents' consciousness. So let's say that you're not enamored with President Trump. You didn't vote for him. But you have to understand part of your consciousness is still in there because he got elected. Even though you say, oh, I can't stand the man, part of you is in there. And when you recognize that, when everybody would recognize that, it changes the dynamics. I can tell you this, that it is more appropriate than what you can imagine right now. And I'm not going to say that this Donald Trump is going to be any sort of spiritual leader. I would have to laugh if I said that. I'm not going to say that he's going to be a great leader of consciousness either. But what consciousness was basically asking for was to change old systems. And you can't do that by having a conventional politician in there because they're adverse to change. It's their system to begin with. So what was elected was somebody that is brash, somebody that is thick-skinned, and somebody who will change systems. Now, some of you will have things that you value, you don't want change, but remember, you're the ones who called, who actually screamed for change, and it's coming. It's coming in a lot of interesting, a lot of very unexpected ways, and what you needed, what I suggest you look at this person not as a politician, not even as a leader, but as a business person. And what we have here right now on this planet is the business of life itself. So I would give you one bit of advice here is to not get all caught up in it. So many of you are still involved in causes, and don't get caught up in it. Stand back, take a deep breath, and observe what's happening with this planet right now. You take up causes, and it is a great distraction from your own personal enlightenment.
Thank you for that. Yes, that's the journey. What was your ascension like?
It was miserable. I don't want to, it is a long story, but I was totally satisfied with myself in my last lifetime in particular. Again, I was known in all the royal courts throughout Europe. I had more money and estates and dogs and horses than one could possibly understand. And I was truly happy. I was a lover of I embarrass Calder and Linda when I say this, but oh no, I love to love. Calder is telling me not to go into my stories there, but so in my last 2 years, I decided to go off into the woods and live by myself to do some writings, which I talked about. And when it came to the actual point of what you would call ascension, when it came to that actual, Calder calls it the threshold, the crossing over, whatever you happen, it was miserable because I wasn't prepared for it. I thought I was truly a master. I thought I had overcome what you call all the issues and obstacles and barriers. I thought I would simply slip into nirvana. I thought I would just cross some sort of rose-petaled covered bridge to go to the Ascended Masters Club. But little did I know that there were still some interesting issues, and it came like a storm, like a fury. It had me laying on the ground, really rolling in my own urine and my own, Calder's asking me to not get so graphic, but it was awful. It was awful, but then I realized it was the most fulfilling and the most rewarding and the most loving experience than I could possibly imagine. And I have to tell you that every ascended master, all 9,695 ascended masters, that's all there are, has gone through the same thing in their final moments. And it comes over you like a fog and then turns into a storm, and you feel like you're being ripped apart on every level, mental, physical, and spiritual. And it is the worst thing to go through. But when you come through it, you realize why it was there and the very loving purpose that it served. I had a number of encounters with this very strong energy, and I tell the deeper story of it in one of our Crimson Circle gatherings, helping to prepare others for what may come in their ascension, their embodied enlightenment. But you know, thank you for asking. It was terrible.
Okay, and it seems like it was a big purifying thing for you. Yes, a big release.
Yeah, there's some other words that, again, Calder is not going to let me say, but it was a true transformation. And one of, I would say, perhaps the biggest reason I am here on channeling with the Crimson Circle is to teach this very thing. There was nobody to teach me about it. There was nobody to prepare me for it or any of the Ascended Masters. But now in one of the particular gatherings we do, we go into it. We discuss it. So those who participate in this are fully prepared for what comes because it's very, very unexpected.
We've heard from some that even our scientists and people in the Secret Space Program believe there's going to be, and even some spiritual teachers, there's going to be an energy ejection from the sun, or the sun will hiccup. Are you sensing any of that in this ascension process?
Are you talking about the planet itself ascending?
Yes. Well, actually, we've heard that the planet has ascended, but I'm speaking more to the energy that may be coming from the sun. Some say or predict there will be a energetic charge or a hiccup from the sun.
Let me say this, that I've heard prophecies for as long as I've had lifetimes on this planet, whether they're end of the world or alien takeovers, and these simply don't happen. But on the other hand, there are constant movements of energy that go unnoticed by the eye or even by the mind. There are constant movements of the energies all around you. And those are the things to pay particular attention to, not worrying about whether there's going to be solar flares, because there are solar flares every day, whether the Earth is going to be destroyed by an asteroid, because not in your lifetime. I would truly advise every one of you to stop worrying about or thinking about or getting distracted by aliens, by end-of-the-world disasters, by any of these conspiracy things. They are absolute distractions to your enlightenment. And as I mentioned before, even alchemy. I helped to create this whole mystique about alchemy because I was trying to get the treasure hunters out of the path of the true spiritual seekers. There are so many distractions on the way to enlightenment. I call it macchio, spiritual, can I say this? Yeah, spiritual bullshit. Macchio, there are distractions. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. What matters is you. In this now moment, in the I exist, in all of the energies that are available to you, these conspiracy theories are just that, they're distractions. So if you are truly going to allow embodied enlightenment, the mastery in this lifetime, where you stay in the body and you continue to be on this planet Earth, not trying to save the Earth, but just to be here, get away from these distractions. Get away from all these theories and everything else. They don't matter. Come back to you. Come back to your journey into embodied mastery.
Thank you for that. Again, that is comforting. And no matter what we see in the world, this I exist is the focus to keep us into that connection of this embodied enlightenment. Thank you for that. Okay, well, Adamus St. Germain, one last question from our chat line. Patrick, he would like to know, do you remember the colored light tablets that we learned from in Atlantis?
Yes, actually, indeed, I do. Funny you should mention that. The light tablets actually contained crystals. Now, as I mentioned, crystals were the original energy source of the planet. And, you know, actually in the center of the Earth right now is not some big molten core, some hot gases and fluids, but it's actually a crystal that still keeps the balance of the planet. And many of you love crystals. You put crystals on your bookshelves and you carry crystals in your pocket. It's kind of a remembrance of that time where the crystals contained the energy. Now, that changed after the downfall of Atlantis, and it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but the crystals had simply exhausted most of the energy that they brought forth, and now humans find energy in different places. But there were crystal tablets, there were crystal centers. The crystals were the way of life back then, much as a light bulb would be to you now. They were just there. They weren't particularly mysterious. But now that you mentioned the crystal tablets, I have to smile because it is indeed a fond memory. And there were many. There wasn't just one crystal tablet. Please don't go off hunting for crystal tablets or anything like that. They were not written or etched into. The crystals contained, what you call the crystal tablets, contained an energy resonance, kind of like almost like a music, but within that resonance or the tone was whatever was inscribed energetically into it, teachings, music, a variety of different things. It was the way of holding history at the time.
Yes. Yes, okay, and why many of us are drawn to crystals, even in this lifetime, yes.
Indeed.
Okay, well, as we say goodbye to you, Adamus St. Germain, can you share some inspiring, encouraging words on the power of living our passion and being heart-centered in this I exist?
Indeed. I would say, I'm going to sum that up, my dear, and say, you take a deep breath and allow. Two of the key words that I'm here to work with people on are and, the word and, A-N-D. It means you're not singular, you're not just human. There are multiple realities that you are many. You just don't realize it. You tend to you get in this very linear focus, self-focus, and you forget that you're so much, you are a master. Right now, listening to this, you are a master, and you are also the human. You are an accomplished musician, and you don't know, you couldn't carry a tune if you tried. You are all of these things, so please get out of that single suit of clothes, metaphorically speaking, and allow yourself back into the and that you are. Stop this kind of intense self-identification that you're just you. You are you in the and in many different expressions. Then the one other thing would be to allow. Allow. That means take a deep breath and allow the I am, the I exist, to come in. You could say your spirit, your soul has been waiting for the invitation from the human to now allow it. Get out of your way. I'm not talking about allowing life to push you around. I'm talking about allowing you to be in you. Let that be your meditation. I allow. I am that I am. And then do precisely that. Allow. Stop trying to configure your enlightenment. You, the human, are not responsible for your enlightenment. You're not. You, the human, believe it or not, are not responsible for your enlightenment, so stop trying. The human can only screw up the enlightenment with the trying. So just allow the I am, that and part of you, is already enlightened. Would you please just let that in? Those are my words of wisdom. With that, such a delight and honor to be here with each and every one of you. I'm going to give all of you, individually, personally, a big hug before I leave. I don't do this often because, well, but you're special. So a big hug before I depart. With that, I am that I am, Adamus of Sovereign Domain. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so it is. I invite everyone to take that good deep breath and let that message that Adamus shares for us, to breathe that in and integrate with it. That very special message for this group. Lauren, what a great and amazing, wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Well, this has been very inspiring, and we are feeling uplifted and really connected to our I Am presence. We can feel the vibrations, and when we do this, when we anchor this in, we are sovereign, and we are here to really live this and embody this. Linda, thank you so much. I know Jeffrey comes back from this a little slowly, so we won't task him with saying anything. I do just want to say to both of you, this has been exquisite, and we thank you so much for your time today.
It's our pleasure and our honor. Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you. Namaste. Remember, you are the master. And with that, we will dance our way to the cosmic heart. We have something to believe in.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for dancing with us in our collective intentions as they go across the universe to the cosmic heart. I'd like to thank my wonderful team at AcousticHealth.com, Heidi, Tony, Tom, Pam, Suzanne, and Garner, who assist with the production of Quantum Conversations, online healing retreats, and more. And thank you, too, for listening. If you've enjoyed this program, please share it with your friends and loved ones. And we thank you for shining your magnificent light and adding it to the world. This is when we love ourselves like no one else can. We leave you now with music from the universe. Music literally created by the universe, as musical notes were assigned to mathematical equations. The result is this beautiful music, available at AcousticHealth.com. Namaste.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.